Welcome to Discovering Victory, a podcast featuring life-changing messages recorded live in America's Keswick, where God speaks to hearts and transforms lives. You're discovering victory every time God's Word is opened. That's life-changing. And this is your host, Dr. Boelty.
Welcome to the January 2015 edition of Discovering Victory podcast. As we begin this new year, I want to encourage you to dial in each month for a powerful teaching from God's Word. This month's Discovering Victory teacher is our good friend Dave Edwards. Dave teaches regularly at America's Keswick as well as traveling across the United States, teaching in churches and conference centers. Before Dave comes to share his message, Life Connected, Bill Gaither and friends come to sing Canceled Worthy.
Prison had long been my home, and the chains that I wore had grown so narrow. I was resigned to my lot, and I almost forgot there was freedom somewhere, and that someone could care if I lived or I died. The bars could not keep him from loving. Right through the darkness and pain, he had broken the chains that had held me so long. And he traded a song for the tears and the sighs, broken dreams and goodbyes.
Between the presence of God and how we're living. You can get there from here. Even if you're way off track, or perhaps just a tad to the left of center, you can get back to living right with God. Maybe for the first time ever. Every day, people like you and me can experience the presence of God. There's a connection between how we live and the presence of God. A practical example would be the connection of that extra appendage we refer to as our cell phones. Oftentimes, changing where you are can strengthen a weak connection before an interruption occurs. So how's your connection? Let's be prepared for God to interrupt.
This morning, I want to talk to us about making the connection between the presence of God and how we live our life, right? There's a lot of people that don't make that connection. This is why a lot of you guys in your lifetime have been to churches where you felt like there were a lot of hypocrites, right? Some of us have left churches because people weren't living what they proclaimed to live, and it's because there's a disconnect, right? People believe firmly in God, and yet their life is not dialed into that, right? People affirm the things of the Word of God, sing great songs, and yet their life is lived in a completely different way. And you get around that, and you can sense it, right? That's what ticks a lot of people off. They go, man, these people seem fake, or this church seems like there's a lot of hypocrites, or they're not living what they say they believe, right? Because there's a disconnect. And we're talking about making connections, and we have to draw the line between the presence of God and how we're living. You see it? And a lot of people, you know, I believe just kind of live their life disconnected from reality. I think I've just met a lot of people that don't really pay attention. Any of you guys have friends that live like that? Anybody have clueless friends? Anybody have dumb friends? Anybody? Right? Don't point. And that is not people pointing over their head. That is not Christian. And I can tell people are clued out and disconnected by the things they ask questions about. Now, this happens to me a lot. My first time to ever be here. Now, you got to know I have no sense of direction, all right? So I travel with maps and compasses and sundials. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I remember I wasn't sure how close I was, and I pulled into the Rite Aid up the road up here, the little drugstore deal. I thought, well, I'll just get directions. So I go, you know, into the store, and I say to the guy, can you tell me how to get to Keswick? And he says to me, from here? I wanted to go no from Oklahoma, and I'll go back and start over, right? And he says, well, you want to know the shortest way? I'm like, no, I'm single. I've got time to kill, and take me the long way. I'll just drive around. What? Right? You think, man, here's a guy. It's just not connecting the dots. You're like, man, just give me the direction to get there. It doesn't have to be, this is not complicated, right? I was speaking somewhere in Georgia, and I always have a table of books, like I have back there in the back, and like I talked about last night. So I'm standing by my table, I got my books out, and someone comes along, and this guy goes, how much is this devotional book? And I said, 20. And he said, dollars? No, rubles. And yes, $20. Right, I want to go, man, wake up. This is what I'm talking about. People are just generally kind of, they're just not making the connection. I'm like, yes, right, not rubles, not Rubik's, not bones, right, dollars, right? And I spoke on I did a singles cruise a few years ago. And really, you get a bunch of singles on a ship, what could go wrong? And, right, you know what I'm saying? Right, you know what I mean? And so... I had never been on a cruise, and it was great fun. And I have to say, it seems a little bit like, you know, the cruise thing seems a little bit like they're playing an evil trick on you, right? Because, you know, you're on a cruise, and that's the time you're supposed to be out in the sun, right? You know, wearing a bathing suit, right? And at the same time, they have all day long buffets, right? So you're supposed to be wearing a skimpy bathing suit while you're eating, right? I wanted to go, I don't need a two-piece. I need a three-piece, all right? So I need something that covers all of me, right? So I remember I was walking around the ship, and one of the guys that works on the ship was, I was standing out there, and there were people coming up. He was like, I guess, giving them a tour or something like that. And so they're all listening to this guy talk. So I just kind of stood in the back, you know, and I listened to what these people were. One of the people that asked this guy on the ship, they said, where does the water in the pool come from? I wanted to go, we're on water. It comes from the ocean. She goes, oh, I thought that's why it tasted salty. What in the world? I was like, what kind of question is that? Then someone said, does the crew stay on the boat? No, they fly them in. They fly them back and forth every day. And then someone else said, how do they power the ship? I was like, they run an extension cord from the mainland. And then they go as far as they can. When they run out of cord, they turn around and come back. And, right, This is what I'm talking about, right? These are people that are not fully making the connection, right? So we talk about connecting our life, right? And they're not drawing the lines between the points. And this happens a lot of time in our own walk with God, as we believe firmly in God, and yet many times our life doesn't reflect that at all, right? And there's a disconnect. There's dissonance between the two. And so this is what brings us to our text this morning in Luke chapter 1, because when you look at what was going on during the Christmas story, so when you look at the people that were involved in the Christmas story, like Joseph and Mary, right, this in Luke chapter 1, this brings us to Elizabeth and Zechariah. These are all normal people, right? They all lived in small towns that were so small, the towns were outside of small towns. That's how small it was, right? Right? And so these are not powerful people. They're not famous people. They're not wealthy people. They're just normal people that are doing life, right? Mary and Joseph are two young kids trying to get their life together, trying to figure out how it's going to work. And all of a sudden, God interrupts their life. Elizabeth and Zechariah had their own problems. They were also praying for a child, but they were both advanced in years, the text says, right? Which means that biologically, right, in terms of time and calendar, they were way past the point of being able to conceive and to see that, and yet they're carrying this dream in their heart. But what you notice about these people in the Christmas story, you have the people like the shepherds who are out tending the flock, that these are blue-collar guys. These are guys that work the land for a living, and yet all of these people experience the supernatural. Right, they all experienced God do the miraculous in some way. Right, the shepherds heard and saw the angel. Right, and heard the angel speak to them. Of course, the angel shows up and speaks to Mary and speaks to Joseph. Elizabeth and Zechariah have these same type of supernatural encounters. And these are normal people, regular people doing life, and yet these at the same time they experience something supernatural. They experience the work and the presence of God. Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, Elizabeth and Zechariah were all normal, common, everyday people that experienced the presence and the supernatural work of God. They had made the connection between how they lived and the presence of God. Those weren't two separate things. For them, they both went together. They collided. They interacted. They interlocked, right? They weren't two separate ways. It wasn't like, I love God, but I'm kind of having my life over here, and I'm all for Jesus and the Bible, but I kind of do weekend in a different way, right? They had connected the two and realized that, man, if the impossible was going to happen in their life, if the miraculous was going to happen in their life, it was going to mean that they would have to put their life in a place by which God could do something that only He could do.
Someday, the cares of life will fall away. Keep on trusting Him.
Did you know you were organic, derived from pure living matter? There are many who are committed to eating pure foods. Organic or whole foods are all the rage. The truth is, they are far better for us than anything processed or altered by additives. Oftentimes, we see people who've pretty much eaten whatever they've wanted for 40 or 50 years and suddenly get a bad report from the doctor and make the connection between eating well and being well. Hey, they may be older, but it's never too late to start doing the right thing. Even those in the worst of health conditions can benefit from a better diet and exercise. Who wouldn't want to feel good even if their life was coming to a close? The same holds true for our spiritual walk with the Lord. While we can significantly change our health for the better by purely changing our eating habits, and that would benefit us somewhat, the same holds true and is of eternal benefit that we can also make choices that promote our spiritual purity and right living before God. It's time to get committed to it.
When you look at Elizabeth and Zechariah, what we see is lives that are surrendered, right? Surrendered lives. Even Zechariah has his struggle surrendering, right? But he gets there, right? Both these people get to a place where they're saying, God, we are surrendered to your presence. We're surrendered to whatever you want to do. And so when we look at this story, we say, well, what can we learn from these two people about a surrendered life? This is why I want you to be able to take notes today, because out of this little story, there are really four components, four things that were true about them, or four things that they did that enabled them to put their life in a place where they could experience the supernatural and experience the miraculous. So that your life is not, our lives are never to be divided into two categories, the sacred and the secular, right? Instead, our lives, our physical lives, are to intersect with the spiritual work of God. That means as single adults, we got to bring our life into a place of surrender. Right? Because if we don't, man, our life could spin off in all kinds of destructive directions. And so here we go. What is it we can say about Elizabeth and Zechariah that we should also be able to say about ourselves? Well, here we go. There are four components, right? Number one, they were committed to a pure life. They were committed to living a life of purity. I mean, listen to what this says, ready? In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, right, there was a priest whose name was Zacharias in the division of something I can't pronounce, and he had a wife named Elizabeth. Now look at this. And they were both, look at verse 6, they were both righteous in the sight of God. See that word righteous? That means right standing. To be righteous didn't mean that they never struggled or that they were totally perfect. When that word shows up in terms of somebody in Scripture, it's a way of saying that their head, their heart, and their soul were all pointed towards God, right? Now that is a life of purity, right? Purity is not made up of how good your morality record has been, right? We have a tendency to think, well, you know, I've screwed up in the past, so it's too late for me, right? That this whole pure thing doesn't really count for me, right? I'm too old for that. But you got to remember, this text that we're reading, right, makes it a point of saying that they were both advanced in age. They were both senior adults, and yet they were still committed to living a life of purity, right? And so, in other words, age is not a loophole, right? Age is not, can never be an excuse for you to say, well, I'm single, but I'm too old for that. It doesn't really matter what I do, right? Because these people were old, and yet they ordered their life to say, God, we're going to seek you with our heads. We're going to seek you with our hearts. We're going to seek you with our whole life. That's righteous, right? They were committed to living a life of purity, regardless of how old they were in numbers, right? There's no place in Scripture where age ever gives us a pass from the pursuit of purity. It's not there. It doesn't say once you become X number of years old, you're done, right? You don't have to be pure. You can go out and just live it up, right? Instead, it makes a point to show us that the people that were advanced in age were still, right, committed to a life of purity. So purity is about us saying, God, I'm going to point my head, my heart, and my soul, and everything that is within me, I'm going to point it towards you, right? I'm going to wrap my life around the pursuit of your presence, right? They were committed to that type. That's what I'm talking about, right? When that becomes the focus of our life, then struggling with moral problems becomes a lot less of a problem. It becomes a lot less of a chore, right? See, what we do is we look at purity as something we can never attain, right? As a mountain that we have to climb, something we have to achieve. I got to try to be pure. I got to try to get purity, right? But when you gave your life to Christ, you were declared to be pure. When you opened your life to Jesus, at that moment, you were given the same performance record that Jesus has, that you're pure, you're holy, you're righteous in his sight. You were declared to be pure at the moment you gave your life to Christ. That means from that point on, the task of our life is to take what's already true about us and to bend our life towards it. You see it? Purity is not something you have to try to achieve. It's something you're given at salvation. And after that point is to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in a manner in which I've been called to walk. Right? Elizabeth and Zechariah were committed to a life of purity. You see it there? This is why Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5 that blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. That there's a connection between how we live and how much of the presence of God we experience. And all impurity does is cloud the focus and muddies the waters and creates a lot of static between us and God and makes us feel totally unworthy. Instead of saying, you know what, regardless of how much time I got left on this earth, regardless of what I've been through, I'm going to take my life and bend it around the character and the presence of God and let my life be conformed to him for no other reason than I just want to be in his presence.
You're listening to the Discovering Victory podcast. Discover more as you connect with us on social media via Facebook and Twitter. And now, back to our life-changing message.
Ever wonder why God commands us to be strong and very courageous? I believe it's because he knew we would need to be. It's not often we think of being strong and very courageous in prayer, too. Are you praying big prayers? Are you making requests and petitions that only God can make happen? Good. When our faith intersects the faithfulness of God, the miraculous happens. The God of Elizabeth and Zacharias is the same God we call on today.
This is a wake-up call this morning for us to stir our walks back with the Lord back into life. Right? Elizabeth and Zachariah were consistent. They were committed to purity. Right? They were consistent in their personal life. And number three, they were courageous. If you're taking notes, number three, they were courageous in their prayer life. They were courageous. Look what this says. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now look at verse 13. They've been praying, asking God to give them a son. In terms of time and biology, it was impossible. And yet now the angel shows up. Look at verse 13. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your petition, your prayer has been heard. They were praying something that in the natural seemed impossible. They were praying a courageous prayer. Do you have something in your life that you're praying that is a courageous ask of God? Are you asking God for the impossible? A lot of people, man, I listen to people pray, and they don't pray courageous, but they pray safe prayers, right? You know, God, I always hear people go, God, just be with us. That's it? That's your prayer? Just be with us? Right? I mean, he's already promised to me. It's not like, God, so let me think about that. I'm not sure I want to be with you. I'm not sure about that. That might be a good prayer request. And right? I mean, that's safe. Of course God's going to be with you, right? He's pledged his presence to you. That's the point of the new covenant, right? And I always listen to people that use God's name like a lot of times in a row of prayer. God, we just want to say, I'm sure like God's, yes, I know my name. Let's move it along. I get it. I'm God. Just get along, you know. The one I loved the most growing up was that in Sunday school, we had everyone the little metal folding chairs, and people would go around and give their prayer request, you know. And there would always be somebody in the crowd who would go, unspoken. I always picture God going, I have an answer for you, can't tell you. And right. I mean, those aren't courageous prayers. Right? Unspoken, right? God be with us, right? I mean, come on, right? Are you asking God for something that every time you pray it, you're like, God, if you don't come through, I'm not going to make it. If you don't answer this prayer, right, I'm kind of out on the limb here, and I'm watching the limb break off behind me, and God, if you don't move, this is not going to happen. That kind of, are you asking God something that's courageous, something that seems to be against the odds, something that seems to be against time and nature and biology, something that seems to be against where you are in life and saying, God, I'm asking you because I know you can do it. Right? Are you praying courageous prayers? not just safe prayers and obvious prayers, but courageous prayers. Right? And then number four, so they were, if you're taking notes, they were committed to a pure life. They were consistent in their personal life. They were courageous in their prayer life. And number four, they celebrate the presence of life. So the angel says, your petition's been heard. Right? Look at this. Look at verse 24. Watch this. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. Right? I mean, here it is. She's old. She's an old, raisiny woman, parking in the blue spaces at the mall, right? Going to dinner at 4:30. I mean, these are old people, right? Right? You got it? And yet, look at this verse. And after these days, Elizabeth's wife, who was barren and seemed to have no hope, all of a sudden becomes pregnant, and now they celebrate the presence of life within her. And not just any child, but John the Baptist, the prophetic time clock of Jesus, the forerunner. She gives birth to John the Baptist, right? A guy who would be uniquely set apart to introduce the kingdom of Jesus. They see it come to pass. It happens late in life, but God comes through. Right? And so I say this, man, they get to this point, and all of a sudden they get this announcement, and they begin to celebrate the fact that God has heard their prayer and that he's worked through her. He's done something miraculous. She gives birth to John the Baptist, and guess what? This whole thing starts all over again. They start to raise this boy, and they're committed, still committed to living a life of purity. Right? They're still consistent in their personal life. And where do you think John the Baptist learned all that stuff? Where do you think he learned that kind of zeal and that kind of consistency? Where do you think he learned to live that life of purity and to be so devoted to the presence of God that he would live outside of the city and wear animal skins and shun the amenities of life because he wanted God more than anything else in life? Where do you think he got that from? Right? He got it from Elizabeth and Zechariah. They modeled that for him. They showed it to him. He picked it up from him. They passed their commitment to purity on to him. They passed their consistency on to him. It doesn't just end with when the prayer is fulfilled. In other words, it starts all over again. There's never a moment that we have to quit living in the presence of God or quit pursuing consistency or purity. It never ends. And think of it, their life influenced and shaped the life of John the Baptist. And in your singleness, in my singleness, you've got to know that your life, even if you don't recognize it, impacts others. And by the way you live, you impact other people around you. It may be your grandkids, it may be your friends at work, it may be someone down the street. But man, they watch you live consistently and live at a level of holiness and purity that just says, I want God more than I want my own way. That we all still have urges and drives and temptations. There's still things inside of us that our body wants, that we want it. But in those moments, you have to say, God, I want you more than I want my own way. I want you, God, more than I want to gratify my own flesh. You see it? And they give birth to John the Baptist. And then we seek after God and give birth to something that's miraculous. Your life gives birth to something that is supernatural. And it may be a new lifestyle. It may be a new relationship. But let me give you the principle, right? If you're taking notes underneath that fourth point. When my faith intersects the faithfulness of God, the miraculous happens. When our faith, how we live, intersects the faithfulness of God, the miraculous happens. So they just kept being faithful. They just kept at it. We're just going to stay faithful to you, God. We're praying a big prayer, big courageous prayer that looks like it can never be answered. It's big. It's huge. It's overwhelming. But we're going to keep praying it. We're going to keep living it. We're going to keep in this. We're going to keep pursuing you day in and day out. We're going to be faithful to you, knowing that at some time in our history, right, as we're faithful to God, his faithfulness intersects that life. And all of a sudden, the miraculous happens, right? You could well see how difficult it would be if we're living unfaithfully, right? If we're doing all kinds of crazy stuff in our personal life and our life is spinning out of control, and then somehow God starts to move into our life and we're not anywhere close by where we can receive it because our life is so crazy and so hectic and so full of the flesh, right? But as we say, I'm going to use this state in my life, this place in my life, to put my life on a path of faithfulness, knowing that as I stay faithful, that the faithfulness of God intersects with my faith. And the miraculous happens. You see it? Whew. So I just came this morning to tell you, that it matters how you live. It does matter how you live. Not in some legalistic, law-driven way, but just a way in which we get ourselves in a place where we say, God, I surrender all. I surrender my life to you. And I'm going to live a surrendered life even when nobody's watching. Even in traffic and at work and at home, in the private areas of my life, I'm just going to go after you, knowing that there'll be a moment where my faith will intersect with the faithfulness of God, and the supernatural and the miraculous will take place.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. In Christ source of strength.
Thank you for joining us for the January 2015 edition of Discovering Victory Podcast. If you enjoyed the song Someday by the Ball Brothers, then you won't want to miss them in concert at America's Keswick on February 14th. The evening includes a delicious dinner plus the concert, all for just $22 per person. To make your reservation, call 1-800-453-7942. For more information about the Ministries of America's Keswick, including our 2015 Daily Bible Reading Plan, visit our website at www.americaskeswick.org. And now until next month, Bill Welty reminding you that there is victory in Jesus.
That concludes this month's Discovering Victory podcast. Join us next time for another life-changing message from America's Keswick. To download the complete message from today, visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org/discoveringvictory.